Intervju Radija Študent.
Go, go, penguin. V tokrat ne mereš intervjuju smo se pogovarjali z manchestersko tričlansko zasedbo Go Go Penguin. Pianist Chris, basist Nick in bobnar Rob se po izidu svojega novega albuma V2.0 odpravljajo na poletni Dimensions festivalu Pulo, zaradi česar smo jih najprej vprašali o njihovem počutju tekom trenutnega krajšega premora.
We haven't really been doing much of a tour at the moment. It's been a little bit of a break because we did quite a lot after we released V2.0, and recently we've been on a break for a few different things, and we're starting to write some new material before we now start going on quite a big run of gigs now, from now pretty much until December.
Na to smo jih vprašali, kako bi tistim, ki zanje še niso slišali, opredelili glasbo, ki jo izvajajo.
It's influenced by electronic music, and it's got jazz instrumentation, so it's kind of a mix of the two, but we nod quite a lot towards electronica, really.
Well, I've read that you've been through a lot to come up with such coherent compositions on the record. You know, how much time did this project demanded, and what was the recording process like?
It was pretty full on. Like, we basically spent from last year, we spent about 3 months just working together, almost every day, long days just writing and trying ideas out and then recording. And then recorded in March. And then there was a lot of development after that as well. We've got a friend of ours, fourth member of the trio, who's our sound engineer. He did a lot of work with a friend of his on doing the production side of the album. And we did a bit more recording around autumn last year as well. So it was quite a lot of work, yeah. It took a lot of time to get to where it ends up being, the album that we ended up with.
In one of your previous interviews, I read that your music was at the first, let's say, conventional. Well, you know, like it has a shape, but then you added, delayed, or taken away, or otherwise improvised the elements and completely changed the sound picture. What was the sound you were really aiming for?
We weren't really thinking about a specific sound that we wanted to go for. It's just the sound of the three of us. It changed from the first album because the personnel changed, but the direction we wanted to go maybe was a bit more consciously going towards electronic music, but we didn't really sort of set out a particular sound. It's just the three of us sound.
I think we all listen to so many different kinds of music, and there's obviously crossovers where we'll listen to the same band or the same artist, but we all have a lot of different influences and a lot of different ideas. So when we ended up putting the three together, it ended up just kind of making what it made. So originally there was no other idea except just put everything together and see what comes out of it, really.
Yeah, so no one was really in the front, like a piano in the front, or, you know, but there wasn't any conflict, so it doesn't sound like it.
It's too free for the conflicts, maybe in a few years. No, it's definitely a case of the band is three individuals working as a group, so, like, I think we're quite aware that it can always be seen as a piano trio where the piano writes the tunes and leads it, and then the bass player and the drummer sort of support that, which with this band I think you can hear it's not the case. I mean, Rob is as much at the forefront as Chris and myself at times, so there's no one particular leader at any so it's not just about a piano trio, otherwise we'd be the Chris Illingworth trio or something.
I read somewhere that you mentioned a musical conversation, you know, between the three acts. I kind of like the phrase.
Yeah.
It must be really demanding at the time, I assume.
I think it's kind of fun because, like, we all have an appreciation of each other's instruments. Like, I play piano and I definitely don't play drums or play bass, but I like beats and I played a bit of bass and So you have the ideas, they're there, but they're not, it's really fun rather than being difficult, because you kind of have a bit of a sketch and then you say it to the other guys and they end up doing their thing with it, and you end up getting quite excited seeing where it starts to go. So it's tricky, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun along the way, definitely.
I was roaming two titles on the record and they made me wonder what was the connection with the musical composition there in titling. What does, for example, Kamaloka or Hapono, if I said it correctly, stand for? Are there any stories behind this?
Yes, kind of. Kamaloka originally was going to be called I've Been Here Before, but it turned out that another artist on Gondwana, Matt Holsall, had already written a tune called that, so we had to think of a different name. And Kamaloka, I think, is in Buddhism and Theosophy, is one of the stages between death and rebirth.
Pretty heavy.
And Ho'oponopono is, it should really be Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
We don't know how to pronounce it.
But we just used to call it Ho'oponopono, and that's why we came with that. And that's a Hawaiian prayer, which is about, kind of forgiveness and accepting reality as it is.
So there you go.
Thanks. What about Garden Dog Barbecue?
That was a weird dream I had a long time ago about some dogs having a barbecue, and it ran out of meat and started to cook each other, which sounds really gruesome, but it was actually more like a cartoon in my brain. It wasn't really, I didn't wake up in like terrors, sweating and things. It was just kind of funny. When I tell people that, it sounds pretty dark really, but yeah, it was kind of just a weird dream. And it was all kind of just like they were listening to house music and techno and stuff, so that's where the idea for the tune came from.
What influence does a sense of space have in your music?
I think it's interesting. I mean, we ended up having quite a lot of ideas. It was about 50 or more ideas, like little sketches or a few chords or a few riffs and things that ended up getting narrowed down to make the album. It was all done in Manchester in that 3 months. So it's kind of, I guess for the space thing, we were in a tiny little horrible room for most of the time that had no windows. And it was all we could really afford for Brussels space. So we spent a lot of time in that, where we didn't know what time of day it was because we couldn't see if the sun was out. And yeah, it was all based in Manchester. I mean, we've had a few people say that they can hear that kind of a Manchester sound or a northern sound, and I'm not really sure what that means, but it's all based in Manchester.
The song seems quite catchy in a way that they are not only reserved for jazz listeners, which is kind of exhilarating considering your music is embedded in jazz improvisation.
Yeah, composition is really important. It's sometimes a little bit overlooked in the jazz world. It's just a means of getting to the improvisation, whereas in this band it's really at the forefront. So melodies and, well, yeah, it is quite, everything's well considered rather than just thinking about the individual and how well they can play a particular scale. So yeah.
How is this record different from your debut album? Can you tell if there's a sense of growing up musically? I mean, I heard that you were already in previous bands before you got into Go-Go Penguin.
Yeah, that's true. We all played together in different formats before this. Yeah.
I think the main difference is that everything on this last album was done together, whereas before that, ideas were quite shaped by one of us and brought to the band, rather than, with V2.0, everything was developed together. Even if it's quite a strong idea, it was with the understanding that somebody else in the band would bring something to it. So I think that's the main difference, really. It's been shaped as three people together rather than in a more jazz way, I guess. The first one was a bit more jazz. It was like somebody brought a tune and then we played it. And this has been we make it together and then play it.
In popular music discourse, one lately comes across, you know, the reopened notion of music as a creative process that should not exclude the audience. I was thinking, how does your music allow your listeners, you know, to contribute, and where do you think the limits are?
I think, as the three of us, we spent a lot of time playing other people's music, and styles are quite concrete in how they're supposed to be delivered. For example, studying classical music, most of the time you're told how a piece is and you perform it in that way. And I think a lot of the time in jazz as well, it's become a kind of, not a cliche, but like a doctrine.
Yeah.
I think what we did with this is that we didn't really intend for anyone to listen to it. It was just, you know, we were getting together to write music that we wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that we would make it and then, you know, we could listen to it as well. And I think by doing it that way, maybe other people seem to like it as well. But I wouldn't say that actually, personally, really ever think about that. It's more the case of, do we like it? And in a similar way that a DJ would approach it, tracks we pick, techniques and harmonic ideas, rhythmic ideas from different places and piece them together in a more kind of like Lego. I'm not really sure. Good question though.
How do you plan your concerts to sound like then? Is it all improvisation, or you will play a song like it's on the record?
Yeah, it's half and half. So there are parts of it where I've used, you know, very kind of classical techniques. It's exactly how it is. That's the, you know, the chord that needs to be there. That's the inversion that needs to be there. And then there are passages where it's much more open and free. So there's basically both elements to it.
I think that was the reason why we kept improvisation in the first place. It's just that fun of being able to go wherever you feel like at that time, rather than always sitting and playing the same thing. But obviously sitting and playing the same thing means you can play a tune that you've crafted and that you've made and that you've shaped and made sure you feel that it's the best that you can make it. So there's that, like Rob says, it's that 50-50 thing that you get to go out and play the tune that people like, and then you get to have your fun whilst you're out there gigging. And I think that makes really good energy then as well, because the improvisation side is just see what happens and go where you can go with it. And sometimes it stays quite close, and sometimes it goes a million miles away from where it was. And I think that's what's really fun to be able to do live. That's the best thing from jazz. It's the only thing we've really tried to keep from jazz, is that element of you can take it wherever you want to take it.
Yeah, but do you ever feel suffocated then, you know, because once the record was out, you know, the music was out and it was this very shape that, you know, that you released, and maybe it can happen that during a concert you get way better idea and, you know, the release is passé, you know.
As soon as we'd finished recording, we started playing the tunes better.
But do you ever re-record them?
We're a lot better than the album.
Yeah.
That's great. Everyone has to go to Dimensions, therefore. So far, you know, on tour, have you ever noticed a difference, you know, that appears in the audience, whether, you know, they listen to songs you play from scratch, from the record, or when you improvise? Is it different? Their reaction?
I think some people like it, some people don't. That's, you know, that's it really.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with the tunes as well, isn't it? Like, there'll be some people who like them, some people who don't as well.
Yeah.
I like what
that guy said on Facebook. what was it that he said? That it was
The B sections that
Yeah,
I don't know.
It sounded like a B section to a song a better band would have made into a better tune or something. So yeah, I mean, there's people that really don't like it and there's people that really love it, and I don't think there's really, you know,
it's not a
you
worry,
can't value
is it? Yeah,
yourself
yeah.
based on what other people.
The manner of listening to music differs dramatically if we compare a person who hears a certain song on the radio and, for example, a person who listens to a record. And I thought that similar differentiation could be made between the acts that perform conventional music genre and the act that that performs improvised music. How do you envision yourself in the following Dimensions Festival? What are your expectations?
Wow. I don't know. I think we're just all really excited about going and playing that festival. It looks ridiculous. And like, I don't know. We all always just go and play. And it's only when you get there that you know what the vibe's going to be like. Mm-hmm. You can look at like what the venue looks like, or you can look at who else is playing there. Like, we've played some places where you kind of sit down ready to play and you're thinking, God, this is going to be terrible. It's not going to go down well. And yet the audience really go for it and really get a good vibe from it. And I guess there's the chance for the opposite as well. We've been lucky that we haven't had that, but you never really know. So there's no real, for our gig, there's no real expectation. At least I haven't got one. It's just going to be really fun to go and play somewhere different, like it is, I think, for every gig. And I think from what we've heard, it sounds like we're playing on a beach, which is going to be amazing. We haven't done that. Well, I haven't ever done that before. And that sounds really exciting. So it's just until you get there, you don't know what to expect, I guess. And then that's one of the great things about having the improvisation element, is that you can let that hopefully play to your advantage, so you can kind of give the energy that you want and play to the crowd. And you know, if they're all up and dancing, then that's going to change the way that we play. If they're all sat down and chilled out, it's going to change the way that we play. But we don't go in with a kind of game plan of we're going to do this. It's just we know which tunes we're going to play and we see how they sound when we get there.
I've been to festivals before. The good thing about festivals is you get to see bands that you haven't seen before, because you just chance upon them. And there might be a few people there who are really hardcore electronica or dance fans, and they'll think, these guys are a bit jazz, why would we want to see them? But I'm hoping that we'll get a few new fans, because that we're not just a jazz band at all.
Go-Go Penguin letos prvič nastopajo na Balkanskem polotoku in, kot je bilo slišati iz intervjuja, se tega že močno veselijo. Z delno improviziranimi kompozicijami, s katerimi bodo presenetili ne le publiko, temveč tudi sami sebe, bodo tudi zahtevnejšim poslušalcem ponudili svežino na področju elektronske glasbe.
Intervju Radija Študent.